Welcome in to the Sports Objective Podcast. I am Dave Richmond, along with ladies and gentlemen, Kyle from McGrange Barber. How are you, man?
What's going on, Dave? I just wanted to inform Pirate Nation, I appreciate you. I love you. You've been there for me, but I am entering the transfer portal.
All right, you and everybody else is a Pirate. Bubba Rosenbaum, are you entering the transfer portal, or are you going to be a Pirate for the rest of your life?
Anybody that knows me knows that I will not be entering the portal ever. Okay, I'm a Pirate, Pirate for life. But, yeah, that was certainly –
I wanted to – any rumors –
Very shocking. On one hand, it was shocking news. Go ahead.
I was just going to joke and say that I want to squash any rumors that Bubba Rosenbaum is entering the transfer portal. We know Bubba. He's been a Pirate since birth, so that's not going to happen. And Bubba, we have another guest that's a Pirate for life, I believe, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Welcome into the show, Sutton Young. Sutton's done a tremendous job helping us over the last several months, you know, with pictures, video, and so forth. Sutton, it's good to have you back on the show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
No doubt, Sutton. We knew there was going to be a lot to talk about. This morning when I woke up, I didn't know that ECU's best basketball player would be entering the transfer portal. It's a surprise of the short-term, long-term. This is something we haven't discussed on the air that we've known about for a couple of years. It's been contemplated behind the scenes for Jaden Gardner. His dad is, for those who don't know, by the way, Jaden is transferring. We wish him all the best, but I think the question of why you're transferring is the issue for me. You can do anything you want to do. For me personally, I know Bubba, we discussed this before we came on there. Sutton, we like always have like a pre-show. And Bubba made a great point. So this 2 years left that he has a COVID year, like this year really didn't count. He can enter the transfer portal and not have to sit out a year because the new rule says you can transfer once. So we understand why he did that. He's trying to do that because he believes, and his family believe, they're telling him that if he goes to a quote-unquote bigger school, an ACC school, that he'll have a better shot to get in the NBA. And I'll throw that out to you guys. I don't think that that's going to happen, but we'll see.
You don't think he'll make the NBA or that he'll get a shot at a Power 5 or ACC?
No, I think that he most likely will get there. The question is big fish, small pond, or small and you have the small fish and big pond question.
Well, to me, if I guess you can look at it two ways. You can look at the amount of players the ACC schools or the Big Ten schools, whatever, wherever he goes, puts the league. Then you say, yeah, he has a better chance. But I'm always of the opinion that if you're good enough to play at the next level, they're going to find you. And that's going to be whether you're at East Carolina, North Carolina, or Coastal Carolina. It really doesn't make a difference. If you're good enough to play at the next level, they're going to find you. So I don't know that him transferring is going to help him make it to the NBA or not. My more concern, I really don't – I'm going to be honest with you, and this is nothing against Jaden. I would say this about any player. He's transferring out, so I really don't care what he does now. He's gone. He's not a Pirate anymore. So my concern is how it impacts the program, and we'll get into that a little bit later. I went a totally different place than where you guys went when came up about him transferring. I don't care what he's doing. He's gone now. He's not a Pirate. That I know. So I'll get into where I think it affects things a little bit later on. But I don't know. Bubba, what do you think? Do you think where do you see Jaden going? Do you have any idea where he'd be a good fit?
No, I really don't know where a potential landing spot may be. One thing I will say, though, is that and this is something I was telling some other Pirates off the air. Actually, my dad over dinner, he couldn't believe the news. And one of the things that I told him, I said, you think about it, in the league like the American, obviously he's already getting a lot of exposure. Yes, he's not playing for a winning team, obviously. But at the same time, Jaden Gardner, like you said, Kyle, is getting plenty of exposure. If he deserves to be in the NBA, he'll get that opportunity. And, yes, he can go play, for the likes of whatever program X in the ACC or Big Ten or whatever winning program that may pick him up. but his opportunity to play in the NBA could come from East Carolina. In my opinion, him getting to the next level in terms of the NBA, not necessarily playing in Europe, because he can most definitely do that. But right. it's more about not who he's playing for and who he's playing against, because he's playing the likes of Houston and Memphis, and we're seeing what they're doing right now in the postseason. For Jaden, it's more about developing that three-point shot and being able to shoot the ball from 22 feet, whether it's for East Carolina or whether it's for Clemson or whoever.
Yeah, the two knocks I hear, guys, and I'll be just honest, I mean, I've asked when I've been at ball games, there's been NBA scouts. They think if you want me to be blunt, I'll be blunt. They think he's too short for the NBA because he's listed at, 6'7"? There's no way he's 6'7". And then the other thing is about the three-point shot. The long-range shot is something that he was starting to get better with, but they feel like he needs to be even better. I'm not an expert, so I'm not trying to pretend to be an expert, but I have listened with my ears about what they said about Jaden Gardner. So if that's what he's trying to do, maybe he's unhappy. Maybe he doesn't like Dooley. I don't know. Maybe that's the real reason why he's leaving ECU.
Nobody on our team can shoot a three, so maybe he wants to go somewhere that has a history of being able to develop a three-point shot. I don't know. So what do you think about it all? You're sitting there very quiet.
I mean, I was in pure shock. I mean – a buddy texted me, let me know what happened. I mean, in my head, I'm thinking, I mean, well, there are components to it. I mean, was it an internal issue? Did he think that going to a bigger school would help him go to the NBA? I mean, it's really questions at this point that we can't answer. I think a lot of it, too, is going to be answered. Like, our questions are going to be answered when he chooses his school. I think that's really when we're going to really see, okay, why did he go? What's the reasoning behind it? That's really where I think a lot of these questions are going to be answered. But, I mean, for Jaden, I mean, since I work with athletics, I can't say too much about it. But what I can say is, I mean, like y'all were saying, he got exposure in East Carolina.
Why?
He was, without question, in my opinion, the best player we've had in a decade, if not longer. So he was getting the exposure. It's just for his brand, did he just want to go bigger, or was it an internal issue? That it's more right now questions than answers.
Another thing, Sutton.
Go ahead, Bubba.
Very quickly, Kyle, something else that we haven't mentioned yet, I don't believe, is, you know, the possibility. Sure, we want to play for a championship at East Carolina. Maybe down the road we'll do that, but the likelihood of that happening in the next two seasons is very small. And so maybe Jaden, you know, wants to go somewhere where he can not only pursue the NBA dream but play for a national championship and make a run in the NCAA tournament.
Well, that much is true, Bubba, and I was about to say a similar point. Maybe it's as simple as he's looking around and this is the fourth straight March, or however many years he's been here, three or four straight March, that he's sitting at home. And maybe it's as simple as that. He's tired of sitting at home in March. And he wants to be playing this time next year. So I don't know.
An excellent point by Johnny Gardner. And Johnny's very in tune, you know, very read up on the college basketball scene. So I really value his opinion. And Johnny chimes in. He said what I said as far as needing an outside shot for the NBA. But I'm talking more about the second part of Johnny's comment, and that is UVA would be a good spot for his game. And thinking about the style of play for Tony Bennett's clubs, I would tend to agree.
No question. I mean, we're not here to – it's not like we're here to beat him up. It's just a matter of the very fact that if you're at ECU – look at Blue Edwards. And we're going to have – and I believe we have Mike Steele coming on Wednesday night. Of course, tomorrow night we have the ECU-UNC game. We'll talk about baseball.
But
we're
going to have Mike Steele. Blue's the only player we've put in the NBA.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is Mike Steele has nicely said – I asked him a couple weeks ago. He was on the show, right? And he said, quote, in a nice way, he said, Jaden needs to focus on being the best possible college basketball player. Because I asked him on the air, direct, if he thought he could make the NBA. So the reality is my point is I don't see that he gets any more Exposure, we talked about. He's not going to – I just don't see him getting – in other words, where it's like that would come down to the coaching at East Carolina. And I think our coaching is great at East Carolina in basketball. I really do. I don't think, in other words, his coaching and his ability to get better, it's going to come to a point. It's like American Idol or The Voice. I have a son and a daughter. Now, I think Alexander, my son, and my daughter Mackenzie is great, right? But that doesn't mean that they're going to win American Idol or The Voice. I'm going to tell them, yes, you're great. You're great. You're great. You're great. And that's what happens with not only Jaden, he's not the only one. He has a lot of people chirping in his ear telling him that he needs to leave because you're better than this. It's time for you to leave where you can actually win. You've been here 3 years and you still haven't won anything, you know? So I can't blame him for that standpoint that people keep chirping his ear, but I still believe that I still have hope and I still believe that we can win in basketball at East Carolina, even without Jaden. I really do.
Yeah, well,
And let us be clear, when we're talking about exposure, obviously we're talking specifically, you know, for Jaden Gardner as it pertains to his dream of playing in the NBA. Because obviously when he goes to – if he goes to the likes of, a college basketball blue blood or, you know, or whatever ACC program or, you know, a program that has a strong basketball tradition, he could get some more exposure. But will that exposure lead to him having a greater chance at playing in the NBA? And I don't think so. I think it's more about him developing that 3-point shot.
Yeah, and as I said before the show, and I'll get into kind of my thoughts on it. You know, what Jaden does now really is of no relevance to me. I don't care. He's no longer a Pirate. Good luck to him, but I don't care. What I do care about is the future of East Carolina basketball. And to me, it puts Joe Dooley and John Gilbert in a bad situation. And the reason I say that is next year is what, everyone? Let's say it together. It is year 4. And whether you count this year or not, it counts on the contract. So at the end of next year, if we post a losing season, and we got the kid coming in from Boston College, we're bringing in a bunch of other players. But if you have Jaden, then the kid from BC and a few other players, losing Jaden lessens our chance to have a winning season next year. So what happens if we post a 4th straight losing season under Joe Dooley? John Gilbert's got a tough decision to make. Do you extend him? Do you give him a 2-year extension to put 3 years back on his contract after the end of next year if he has another losing season? Or do you let him go? To me, losing Jaden makes it a lot harder to post a winning season next year. And so that's where my mind goes. It puts Joe in a tougher situation, makes his job tougher. He's going to be feeling the pressure next year. If he doesn't post a winning season, it makes John's job a lot tougher because he knows Dooley's a good coach. Everybody knows Dooley's a good coach. So do you extend him after 4 straight losing seasons? The best thing that can happen next year is we find a way to post a winning season. He gets a 2-year contract extension, and we keep right on rolling and building the thing. But that's where my mind goes with losing Jaden. It's not what Jaden's going to do. This is about how it impacts this program. It's a bad time for Dooley and his staff to be losing Jaden going into year 4, just in my opinion, because, after year 4, you have to do something. You've got to extend him or you got to fire him, and there's no question about that. You don't leave a coach sitting with 1 year left on their contract or you might as well fire him.
No question about it. I think we're okay. I mean, I think that it does hurt to lose Jaden, but you can also – hey, you can also argue we haven't won with him. I'm not trying to hurt him. I'm just saying it's a team sport. So it's not like Jaden is a golfer or a tennis player. This is a team sport. And I believe that it does hurt, but at the same time, we could get players in and all of a sudden they gel and, you know, we win, you know? It could really we won't know until next year the impact of losing Jaden. It could be really, really bad for us, or it may not be as bad as what we think. We're shocked right now, and in the term right now, we're hurt right now. So our judgment, I think, is not going to be – hindsight is 2020. We'll know after next season if this is really a big deal or not. It could be that – who knows? I don't know what's going on internally, but all I know is that – you know, we already have what, Bubba? I think it's 7 new players, guys, coming in next year.
Yeah.
It's at least 7.
Something else we haven't touched on while I was sitting there enjoying dinner with my parents, and we were talking about the Jaden Gardner news, and this one is not a surprise whatsoever, and I certainly wish this guy well, as I do all the guys leaving, but this one was not a surprise. Miles James has entered the portal.
Yeah, I mean, and again, go ahead, Sutton, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I mean, for Jaden again, I mean, we don't know what's going on internally. I mean, obviously, he wants to go to the NBA. I mean, that's great. I mean, of course, every college basketball player wants to go to the NBA. But, again, I mean, it's so hard right now to tell because, I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm disappointed. I mean, obviously, like every other Pirate is, I mean, disappointed. I mean, but you have to look at the positives. And, I mean, I remember I was at the Houston game when we beat Houston. And I remember that Dooley said in his post-game interview, we know how to, now the players know how to win. Now we need to make it continuous. I mean, there have been sparks in the program. There have been some good sparks in this program. And I mean, and we all know this. This is no shock. This is no secret. East Carolina is a hard place to win in basketball. So I think really next year, going into next year, it's let's see the development. Obviously, we're not having Gardner, but let's just see where we are. Develop the players and see how we play as a team and how competitive we are. Because obviously losing Gardner, it's a huge, huge step back. But, I mean, knowing Joe Dooley, I mean, he is a winner. I mean, we know that. He's won East Carolina before. I mean, next year is it's going to be a hard year losing Gardner. But, I mean, we have the guy from BC coming in. And I mean, he knows how to win. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does.
And Kyle, and one thing I want to mention to you guys, I forgot, I just realized I was going to say at the top of the show, is he may have already known that Jaden was going to leave. I really truly believe that they knew that Jaden would be gone, and they knew that more that could be gone. You know, there was a good chance he would, not that it was 100%. But then I think another thing, guys, mentally, I believe, and it sounds like I'm blaming everything, but I think COVID has played a really big role on this team this year, to the point mentally where, you know, it's like enough is enough already. I mean, they went, what, guys, 28 days without playing basketball?
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
But I mean, everybody else had to deal with COVID too. It wasn't just us.
Yeah, we got some more great points. We'll get up on the screen. If you have a comment, I know a lot of Pirate fans hurting tonight. We'll put that up on the screen. Thank you, Johnny Gardner. He says, both valid points, Kyle and David. Love Jaden. There were times this year we played better when he was not on the court. Other guys weren't standing around. At times, looked tense with everything running through them. Obviously, his production will be hard to replace. No doubt, Johnny. I'm not trying to put Jaden down. I'm just saying that why would you leave when your chances of going to the NBA don't improve by leaving ECU? I'll say that sort of thing.
And like I said, it could be just as simple as he's not playing in March. I mean, it could be, you know, he whether it's NBA related or he's just thinking, well, it's March again and I'm not playing. And maybe he wants a chance to go, you know, play in the Sweet 16 or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what's in his head. And like I said, I don't really care. My thoughts are with Dooley in the program now because that's what matters. We're not going to care what Jaden Gardner does next year. I promise you that. We are going to care what East Carolina basketball does next year.
No question. Our good friend Alan Powell, Pirate Al, I want to give him a shout-out. He tuned in. He said, just tuned in. Thanks to the horrible new transfer rule in every sport, you're building on a yearly basis. You're no longer building a program. That goes for basketball, baseball, and football. Pirate Al, you're always spot on, and you're one of the smartest people I know outside of ECU and with ECU sports, too. And he's a great wrestling fan, so I love him to death. And he has great taste.
I don't see this rule. I know it applies to baseball. I don't see it affecting baseball that much. It'll be interesting to see how it affects football. Basketball has that culture from AAU of playing on 100 different damn teams, going from this team to that team.
Right.
And football doesn't have that culture. I do think it will affect football. It'll be interesting to see. I don't think it'll get as bad as basketball, but I don't like the rule. I don't like the rule at all. Even at some point, it will benefit us. And I guess you could say it already has with the kid from Boston College. But to me, it's mostly going to be negative. And you know, you talk about football, and what if, you know, God, I'm terrible with names, guys. Everybody's Rajay Harris. What if he rushes for 1,500 yards this year, and then all of a sudden South Carolina is home state with the running back the following year, and he can just walk right over to South Carolina now without sitting out a year? That's the kind of crap that I think is going to become really unfair.
Yeah, and maybe they did that on purpose to help the quote unquote Power Five schools and say, see, you can't, you now you're really hurt really bad. So you got to break, you know, we're going to break away. I don't know. Maybe not.
Or you know, it could be interesting the other way around. You know, you get a kid that signs with let's say Alabama, and then all of a sudden after 2 years, he sees I'm not breaking the two deep, but I can go to UAB. Or you got a kid from I don't know, Georgia, and he goes, you know, I'm not breaking the two deep, but I can go to East Carolina. So it'll be interesting to see how that rule plays out with nobody having to wait a year. I think it's going to be mass chaos. I think what they've done with that rule is put us one step closer to, along with the money stuff and the image likeness, and I think we're getting closer and closer to just being a semi-pro in college football and basketball.
Hey, Pirate Al, to your point, something I told Dave earlier off the air when the news about Jaden Gardner broke, this is the perfect environment, as you pointed out, for losing Jaden Gardner. Because of the COVID situation, eligibility rules, Jaden Gardner has 2 years to play rather than just one, and he doesn't have to sit.
No doubt. I mean, it is the perfect storm. You got 2 years to go somewhere. He'll get a chance to play, and he doesn't have to sit exactly like he did. If he had 1 year of eligibility left, or if he had to sit, Bubba, he probably wouldn't have transferred. You're right. But it is what it is. And
I mean, it really hurts, honestly. The transfer stuff, we all heard about the new transfer rule, I mean, we all knew there would be more transfers. We all knew that there would be a little more leeway here. But to Kyle's point, I mean, honestly, my biggest nightmare, I mean, of all things, is the separation from powers and mid-majors. Because, I mean, right now, I mean, we are at FBS school, right? I mean, it's just we're there. But, I mean, with the money and everything, the exposure, I mean, it really right now scares me. Gardner leaving, I could see that, honestly, from a mile away. I mean,
I tell you, I tell you exactly how we can improve things. You want to know how?
Go for it.
Call the state legislature right now. We need our director of athletics, John Gilbert, and all of us to call them, change the stupid rule that we have in North Carolina where state money cannot go to college athletics. That's the dumbest rule.
Well, one rule I've always thought, Dave, and I'd love, because I am the – you know, I've always thought it'd be interesting to approach this with legislation. And it goes back to the antitrust law and the Power Five having a monopoly all the way back to the BCS days. I've always wondered if it wouldn't be fair – for the state to give money to athletic departments of schools that compete in FBS football but are at a competitive disadvantage because they're not allowed in the Power Five. I've always thought maybe they should subsidize us.
There you go.
North Carolina, Appalachian State, and Charlotte gets that money, but North Carolina and North Carolina State doesn't, so we can have a competitive advantage with them. It's not our fault that the Americans aren't included in the Power Five. They have a competitive advantage that's unfair. And so why not subsidize us? Why not give East Carolina, App State, and Charlotte a little welfare?
So let's get the western part of the state and the eastern part of the state, our state senators, our state legislators, if you want to help us out. You know, that's why, for people that don't know this quick story, UNC had Carmichael Auditorium. And the reason being is they made it an auditorium so they could get state money. And then eventually, you know, they've changed it now where it's Carmichael, I guess it's Arena now. But the reason why it was called Carmichael Auditorium is because that way they could get state money versus having an arena, which it was, that was way, way back. So For me personally, I want to see that rule change because I think it's dumb and I think it's archaic. And I think that we know that that would help East Carolina out a lot and all the other schools. I'm not talking about just East Carolina. I'm talking about all the non-Power 5 schools in North Carolina. That, I mean, we really, if there's ever been a time to help us out, it's now with the, all the mess with COVID. And that would help all the schools out, including East Carolina.
Yeah, no doubt. It'll never happen, absolutely. But it would be cool if it did.
No doubt
another,
about it.
Another point, guys. I was talking to a Division I coach in another sport this afternoon, and he was. I told him news about Jaden Gardner, and I was interested to get his take on it. You know, just with him being a Division I coach or just a college coach in general, for that matter, but particularly at the Division I level. And
you said another sport, Bob.
And he is in another sport, and he was saying that he's a man. He said so many coaches just flat out don't have a chance. Kind of like Kyle was saying earlier in that example with Rajay Harris, and obviously Kyle was just pulling that one out. I fully expect and hope on Rajay to be a Pirate. But,
yes, I know nothing. I know no rumors.
Yeah,
used as an example.
No rumors, no inside knowledge there. Rajay Harris is a Pirate.
There goes our credential.
But that is a good example from the standpoint of, you know, just it's a neighboring state and a tremendous player.
And they're certainly going to see him this year.
No doubt. And, you know, Sutton with football, we appreciate, by the way, we're going to have, for folks that don't know, tomorrow is Pro Day at East Carolina. I want to remind everybody and that Sutton has been generous enough to help us out tomorrow. Some of us have to work Sutton. I would love to not have my, well, let me say this. I want my full-time job for money, no doubt. But as far as being there, let me be very careful on that. I have to work during the time that the Pro Day, and so I won't be able to be there this year, unfortunately.
I mean, I caught a break. I was lucky my 9 a.m. got canceled, so it worked out perfectly. So I didn't have to make class.
Yeah, we got to buy the pitcher of beer or something for the professor there. We can help him out.
we'll help him out. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, no doubt. Yeah, we got some more comments flowing in. I know Pirate fans upset if you're just joining us about Jaden Gardner's leaving the program today. And Tommy Clayton said, I was afraid this may happen. The transfer portal has gotten way in hand. Sheriff Tommy Clayton, we appreciate you, Sheriff of Pirate Nation. I know not of where he lives, but Sheriff of Pirate Nation, Tommy Clayton, we appreciate him so much. Bubba, he's absolutely right. You know, we've talked about transfer portal. We've talked about, Kyle has mentioned so many times, how much this whole transfer mess hurts college basketball. And not to get on a soapbox, only to say that if you want to improve college basketball, this was not the route to take. And another point, guys, to make is there are a lot of guys with a likeness and image that they'll never make the NFL, they'll never make the NBA, and they just want to get paid while they're in college. That's what it comes down to, because they'll never make it to the next level. And I'm not being mean on that. I'm just being straight up.
Everybody's got their hand out. People want money where they can get it. I get that. But, you know, there is value in a college education. There is cost of attendance, which I don't know what cost of attendance in East Carolina is now, but they were giving them around $4,000 or $5,000. I have no idea what it is now. That was a couple years ago. So there's money out there. And, you know, with the likeness and image, and, you know, one thing that people we talked about in the past is the NCAA, I don't know when it's going to go into effect, but at some point here soon, guys are going to be able to sign deals. You know, you might have Holt Naylor's advertising for Greenville Toyota. I mean, that kind of stuff's coming down the pike. So it's getting real weird. It's college sports is fixing to take a turn that, you know, maybe for those of us who enjoy college sports the way it is and the way it's meant to be, maybe we need to let them break off. Maybe the Power Five needs to go be professional, and then we can play intercollegiate athletics at all the schools that, you know, want it the way it used to be.
Yeah, Kyle. Depending on when that NIL legislation is passed, you know, comes into place. I mean, Holt Naylor's. Talk about being a prime candidate here in his hometown, the quarterback of the beloved Pirates. I mean, good grief. I mean, he could have a ton of opportunities for him.
Yeah, but then what about those offensive linemen that are sitting there supposed to protect them?
I totally agree.
They ain't gonna
we also have
advertisement opportunity. So is Holton going to be like, "Hey boys, here's a little cash"? I mean,
right?
And
just like their quarterback would do at the pro level.
Yep.
And we also have Title IX. If you're a female, shouldn't you have the same opportunity to make money?
The same opportunities. That's free market, Dave. Title IX is going to give them that opportunity, but that's still going to be on the free market. I mean, if nobody wants to
hire, they sue if they don't get paid anything?
Not from sponsors. No, that would be just like the offensive lineman not getting paid. I mean, if it's a free market, Greenville Toyota is not obligated to hire the star softball player.
So, no, I know that. I'm just saying that it's still. I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that in the world we live in now, and everything having to be equal, as we always hear about,
from the university will have to be distributed equally. But I don't see how that's going to apply to you having the right to make money off of your image and likeness. If they can't make money off of it, then that's on them. I mean, I don't see how you can force, you know, I don't know. AJ McMurphy's. Well, you hired Rajay Harris to advertise for you. Now you got to hire, you know, a girls volleyball player to advertise for you. I don't see that happening.
No, I'm not saying necessarily that. I'm just saying that with everything that's been crazy about having equal stuff. So we'll see how that plays out. Sutton, by the way, I know we got a few minutes. You've got to run. Do you have to run now, or do you have a few more minutes with us?
I've got plenty of time. You're good.
Okay. So another thing that I want to make sure everybody knows, and I know Bubba and all three of you guys know, but for Pirate Nation, talk to folks today, and it's 1,400. If you're wondering about, I was talking about Clark LeClaire Stadium for this week. I checked because I want to get my season tickets, but I'm getting closer. But not quite there where I can order them. Please be patient. They're doing everything they can right now because they're trying to. The problem they have, let me make it this point. I'll let you guys talk, I promise. The point that I was told to make is, please understand, the problem is not, when they say 50%, the wrinkle and everything is you have to have 6 feet apart. So that's where they're struggling, and they can only have 1,400 of 5,000. It's really not, when you do that math, it's really not 50%. It's not 2,500 like you would think it would be.
Right. So they have to be 6 feet apart unless you're together. I mean, and so the most we can get in right now is 1,400. Maybe they'll find some more room, figure out a way to get more people in. I don't know. I mean, I want to know how much that 6 feet apart is going to be enforced. I mean, I know we're going to do everything by the book, blah, blah, blah. But I've seen other states back during football season, Mississippi, right, where they were at 50% capacity and they were not enforcing 6 feet apart. So
I mean, they had people sit in each other's lap for crying out loud.
Come on. So I mean, look, if it's 50% capacity, if it were me, and it ain't me, and I guess there's reasons why it ain't. We'd be at 2,500, and then I'd see what happens. I'd see how well that if anybody's going to come shut us down.
If you were the director of athletics, every ticket would be sold, and it would look like Mississippi. But
no, that's not true. I just don't know how much. I don't know how much that six feet apart would be enforced by the state. Is what I'm trying to say. I understand we're abiding by the rules. I understand Gilbert is going to do things by the book. I just wonder how much it would truly be enforced if we just said, all right, 50% with 2,500 people. But 1,400, I think eventually we'll probably figure out a way to get some more people in there at 6 feet apart. So hopefully that'll go up a little more, maybe by next weekend. I'm speculating. But that's just a 300-person increase? We were at 1,100, right?
That sounds right, yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah, they'll keep adding. I mean, by the time, and I told the person today at ECU, by the time we get to the regional, super regional, because we're going to host one, very confident on that, it's going to be way closer to 100 than it will be 50. And that crowd is going to be so electric, man. I'm telling you, we will host another regional. We're going to host our very first super regional, and it'll be to our advantage to have the crowd not being able to get in. Until that moment, you know that those of us that finally get in, It's going to be electric in there, even beyond a normal ECU crowd. I really believe that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do have a concern, you know, right now with everybody starting to be around each other, and there seems to be a little bit of a peak going up with COVID cases. I do have a concern with Easter break if we're going to have a little bit of a surge. I know vaccines are becoming more and more available, and I do think by the time football season rolls around, I think we're going to be looking at the review of COVID. But I do expect a little surge to be coming up in the next couple of weeks. And it'll be interesting to see how the state reacts to that, if they panic or if they just let it go.
Yeah, it's Sutton, before I know that you've been generous with your time, but we wanted to talk to you tonight about your ties to ECU and obviously about your love of broadcasting. So with the time we have remaining, we didn't know that we're going to have the Jaden Gardner news and all that got us a little sidetracked, but obviously we had to talk about it since we're having a show tonight. But tell everybody, for folks that don't know Sutton Young, about how much you love East Carolina, your path to ECU, and your love of broadcasting.
Yeah, well, I mean, for starters, I was dragging my team over with East Carolina Sports Network. As soon as I heard the news, I'm like, let's go over to Menges and let's film a live shot. So, I mean, that's news. That is news. I mean, I tell other students at ECU who want to get into it, that's news. You could have stuff that is there like 2 weeks before. You could have things that you hear 2 minutes before and you have to be there, right? So that, I mean, news is never set. Something can always happen, and you always, like I tell them, you always have to be ready to go. But for East Carolina, I am third generation here in East Carolina. My grandparents lived here, or they didn't live here, they went here. My mom went here. But then my dad's first boss and his family went to East Carolina, and that's how my parents were set up. So if it wasn't for East Carolina, I wouldn't be here. And what's really nice is I've grown up around East Carolina athletics. I mean, I've always been an East Carolina fan, always been a blue blood for ECU. And then when I really started to think careers, I'm thinking, okay, well, I want to do sports. I love talking about sports. And people kept on telling me, they're like, all right, well, why don't you try broadcasting? I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And it went a lot better than I thought it would. It went really well. Obviously, I worked at WVIR NBC 29 for over 2 years in Charlottesville. I was fortunate enough to get that job, and I had just recently accepted an internship with WBTV3 in Charlotte. So really things for me right now, broadcasting, I mean, I love sports. I love talking to people about sports. So I really said, this is good time. This is it. So, and always my advice for people out there who are in high school or maybe even in college, if you know you want to do something, do it, get started now, because it will benefit you big time. I mean, I can tell you right now, I mean, I wouldn't have had the opportunity I had at NBC 29 if it wasn't for me pursuing it early. I wouldn't have this internship in Charlotte if it wasn't for my previous experience. If you know you want to do it, don't stall and wait till you graduate. Go ahead, start your career, because it is a huge help.
No doubt. And it comes down to a lot of things now where kids are like in NASCAR and different things. They're starting at like 2 and 3 years old. I mean, not maybe that young, but it's really, really young with go-karts, and they're working their way up 3 or 4 years sooner than they would like to, you know, or normally would be. You know, same thing, I guess you could talk about the music business. Kids are, you know, becoming superstars a lot sooner, and that helps out the record label when they can keep a guy, a Sutton Young, for 30 or 40 years versus maybe 10 years. So my hat's off to you by definitely going for it early on. You would like to say, like to think, for those of us that are old, it's never too late, but sometimes in our case, it may be.
I mean, really what I tell people all the time, I mean, there are so many people who I'm even in school with now, some of my friends, they're undecided. It's one of those things. I mean, I know that when people say, oh, what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to do? What's your major? Like, I know it's one of those things that some people push off, but you really have to think here, especially if you're going for college education. I mean, this is going to be your career, you know? I mean, and I always tell people, try and find something you really enjoy or have something that you can tie that with. I mean, so that's where I really tell people all the time. I mean, and like even with my network with ECU, it's like with my peers and my broadcasting students that I have, with me, it's like, okay, you know you want to do it. Let's go. Let me get you the experience you need to get into the field. So then that way you are better prepared. And the more prepared you are, I mean, people always say that sometimes you can over prepare for a career, for a job. You can't ever over prepare. It's just adding more and more things. And that is critical. Don't ever back down. Always add.
And by the way, Sutton, I want to get your take because you were there with me. I know you've been around the program a lot when it comes to Pirate football, spring football. I know that people think I'm the guy that's always saying, I'm not saying we're going undefeated this year, but I tell you what, the energy around the program right now with Mike Houston, having the new coaches in, having an actual spring football where last year we didn't, it's really, really awesome to see. And I know you've been around it, so I want to get your take with, I know you were with our good friend, Brian Medor, who we think a lot of. Brian's awesome and does such a great job and doesn't get the praise he deserves. And I'll say it because I love him. He needs to be put on the pedestal that we put him on. But anyway, that's a whole other show, as they say.
Yeah, but Medor's great. We can all agree on that.
Yeah. But what's your take on spring football so far?
Well, first off, to you guys' point, I mean, a huge thank you to Brian Medor. He is, since I've been at ECU right before I got to ECU, he has been an absolutely fantastic mentor. He has been a huge help with the East Carolina Sports Network, with the stuff I've done for you guys, and my new job in East Carolina. He's been a great help there, and I've been fortunate enough to work alongside him some, and it's been great. And I mean, I will say this 100 times, Brian Meagle, thank you. He is just an absolute rock. I mean, just a fantastic dude, especially for someone like me. Very similar, went to East Carolina. He has experience in NCT, WITM. I mean, it's just having him is so beneficial for me. You know, to football, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say really quick about Medor. Right now he's getting sleep, but he doesn't get a lot of sleep in football season. That dude is amazing about, thank God for technology getting better for him as far as like being able to put packages and stuff. But, I mean, I can think of many, many times what he's told me over the years. He's like, man, I'm not going to get much sleep tonight. You know, like you'll be there with him at a post-game press conference and you can just tell the guy's going to be up at 4 a.m. getting ready stuff ready.
Medor is one of those people that I don't know if Pirate Nation appreciates as much as they should. Great guy. He does so much work for Pirate Athletics, for the coaches' shows, for the radio shows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He'll do anything for you he can. Just a great guy. And one of those people that hopefully the athletic department appreciates. If anybody in the athletic department, John Gilbert, Ryan Robinson, whatever, you guys see this, you guys need to go pat Brian on the back and give him a raise or buy him a cupcake or something. I don't know. Medor is very undervalued.
By the way, Sutton, you were going to talk about football. What were your takes?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm just going to be totally honest when I say this. When JMU beat Youngstown State in the FCS championship game, I said to myself and I said to my dad, this guy is going to be the head coach of ECU someday.
Wow.
And I just knew because, I mean, growing up around ECU, I know the culture. I know how people are here and what it means to be a Pirate. Mike Houston, he has it all. So when I knew that we were getting a new head coach, and obviously the day Thursday, I mean, I just told people, I mean, it's Mike Houston. Mike Houston will be the coach. And what for me, I mean, and we were talking about this earlier about building a program. I mean, I think it's so critical to have the opportunity and the time to build a program. I mean, I personally don't like it when like basketball players leave after 1 year, go to the NBA, develop yourself. You're devoted to the school. So build that program. But for Mike Houston, in my opinion, is one of the best coaches out there. And he has had a very tough job at ECU, obviously. I mean, we know what happened before, and Mike Houston came into a very difficult situation. But, I mean, I've seen it. I mean, I saw it. I mean, the big sparks I saw last year when I was in Tampa and when we beat SMU, I mean, and I can see it from practice too. I mean, they are just really, really physical, which is very good. The energy is there. They're very upbeat. And it's something that the program really, any program needs for that matter. And Mike Houston, I'm telling you guys, I mean, I'm one of those people who I'm okay if it's a long build. Because like I tell people all the time, you can't build a hotel in one day. You can't build a ship in one day, right? It takes time. The longer and the more quality time you have to build it, the firmer and the better it's going to be. So I'm going to tell you this. I think Mike Houston's going to have a good year. But you give him, you go 22, 23, I mean, those could be some very dangerous years of ECU football. And I can't tell you how excited I am and how much praise and respect I have for Mike Houston and what he's doing here.
No, I agree with you, Sutton. I agree with you. But I don't think we're going to have to look at, you know, I agree with you, 22 and 23, if he builds it the right way, could be special. But I think we're going to be really good this year. I really do. I mean, and the bar has been so low under Montgomery. And, you know, to me this past year, I look back and, you know, if you get that Tulsa win, which we beat them.
We got robbed.
Then we're probably playing on the first weekend in December against an FCS opponent for 500, for 5-5. So, I mean, we were really close this year. So I really believe when you look ahead to there we go, speaking of football, when you look ahead to the 2021 season, and what all we got coming back, and the way we are, Mike Houston, if you guys really pay attention to his practice reports, he is all over himself. He can't hardly stand it. He knows he's got a football team this year, and we're going to add some more pieces during the offseason. I think it's going to be interesting to see how many FCS players transfer out to FBS schools at the end of the spring season. So we're going to add a few more pieces. And I think come August when we play App State in Charlotte, I think we're going to like the Pirates of old. I really do. I'm really particularly excited about the defense.
I was getting ready to say, Kyle, I was going to add to your point about that very thing. It's funny you said that. The defense, guys, depth-wise, is incredible. It is unbelievable how many great players we have on defense. And I know, Kyle, you've already said it, but this is the best defense we've had since 2015. And I don't know that you can say we haven't won a conference championship. So the 08, 08, 09, these guys stay together. They have a potential of that kind of greatness.
Yeah, it's going to take a couple years to get that good. That front seven was special in 08 and 09. But, no, I think you can say with confidence. I'll say it right now. I'll guarantee this will be our best defense since 2015. I'll say that with 100% confidence going into the season without hesitation. I'd bet the farm on it.
Hey, Sutton, I've already I can bet you right now that Kyle is actually calling around all the hotels and making reservations for December. He's already got the dates lined up, and he's like, look, guys, at work, I'm not going to be there. There's a chance, and he's going to give the dates he wants off. I can guarantee you that he's going to be like in Myrtle Beach. What do you think, Kyle?
I think we're in a bowl game. That's what you're alluding to. I really do. I think we have an excellent shot to win at least six this year. So
I need a ride with Terry. Terry can drive me down there where we're going. I think he can.
Oh, yeah. Not long at all.
Yeah, we've got a chance.
Well, welcome into the show, by the way, Terry Gallagher.
Terry Gallagher from the Pat Dyer, 1974 to 1988. No, I'm kidding.
Just about.
It seems like every time we have you on, we add the number of years you've been. We might as well add about 14 years. I mean, hey, if we're going to have I ask you guys this, if we're going to pay the players, why not let them just play as long as they want? We'll just keep them in graduate school for 8 or 10 years. A Terry Gallagher could be here for 10 years.
I was checking to see if I had an extra year due to the pandemic.
Well, Terry,
I was checking with Bubba to see if he could transfer in.
I think all the players from your era should sue and demand that you guys get compensated from when y'all played.
Oh, look, there's what I would like to know is, see, what they – They nobody knows what any of our medical records are. See, that's CTE, what I was like.
You want CTE?
No, they, you know, it's funny when you start asking for medical records, they lost them, you know, in the fire. They got wet during it. That was it. They got wet during the flood.
So, are you good? Do you need some? Well, do you need to go?
You said our training staff during that time was about like in the water boy, right? The guy
actually, we had a very good medical. You know, East Carolina's been known for their sports medicine department.
And, I was totally kidding.
So that's why they had to hide everything. So, they were so good. They knew. Yeah. They knew about us. We didn't want people knowing too much about us.
But, I'll tell you one thing.
I think it's going to be an exciting year. We've been practicing now for what, 23 months? 22 months. So, hey. You know, it's about time. You know, it's going to be really, really fun to watch them. Because, again, I don't think they've really learned, and they've learned how to win, and I think we've learned what a winning attitude and a winning spirit is. Because if you notice, you know, in every game there's those seven or eight plays that make the difference in the game, and we right now, you know, we were 0 for 8 every game. You know, we weren't making any of those plays. Then we started making one or two of those plays. We've made 3 or 4. Now we're getting where it's 5 or 6. So when you get to the point where you can make that play, that big play at that crucial time that turns the difference between winning and losing, then I think we're going to be able to make it. And that's what we remember, like with Shane Carden up at Virginia Tech. I remember the year we went down the field and scored, what, in about 48 seconds or something like that.
Yeah.
And you never felt like you were going to lose a game.
Yeah, they tied it up, and then Shane just drove right back down the field and put it in the end zone. And
guys, another thing is I remember Rick Smith being on Pirate Radio. And he's like, well, if you can't – I can't do his Southern accent, but he said if you can't stop – he said if you can't run the football – and you can't stop the run, you're probably not going to win the game. Paraphrasing pretty close.
Yeah.
Well, we can run the football now. We're getting better at that. And we're going to be better on defense where we can stop the run, which gives us a better chance to win the game. Just plain and simple. That's from a guy that coached for, 46 years?
Yeah. I'll say this, though. I actually think in today's college football, it's more important to be able to stop the pass. And I really like the back end of our defense.
From our
staff back there with our corners coach and our safeties coach, and then we got a lot of talent on the back end of our defense all of a sudden. And I really look at this football team, and we got pieces. There's pieces. You can look and see where we should be good. I mean, there are more pieces in place than there are holes. And when you can say that, you should be able to win some football games.
How about when Jeremy Lewis moves over to the defensive side of the ball to outside linebacker? Very happy. He's doing very well, I believe, Sutton, right? I mean, Coach was talking about that on Saturday when we were there. And that just makes me really happy to see a kid that is on the offensive side of the ball. You move him to the outside linebacker, and he's playing like lights out, my understanding. In fact, didn't Coach say Sutton he's taking first team reps?
That is correct. He is, and it really gives a testament to this coaching staff about how they can develop these players. I mean, you look, he's going on the opposite side of the ball, and he's going to get those first team reps. I mean, that just shows you the potential that not only he has, but the rest of these players have under this coaching staff. I mean, I've been around the coaching staff, all of them. It is a great coaching staff. I mean, this is a really great coaching staff, and let me say this. They know what they're doing, and it's being proven on the practice field.
Sutton, I'm not much you've been in practice. You've had a more chance to go to practice than any of us three. What are you seeing from, you know, I know I'm terrible with names. The guy we just hired from Norfolk State, tight ends coach, and now he was head coach at Norfolk State. Before that, head coach at Virginia State. Before that, head coach at Richmond. He's also been given the title of passing game coordinator. Have you seen much difference in the offense? Do you know how much responsibility Donnie Kirkpatrick has turned over to him?
I mean, those details we don't know. I mean, I think that's more internal. I mean, from what they've done in their team drills, they have looked very, very good on offense. But, two, I mean, it's really – I mean, both the offense and the defense are looking very, very good. They're competing with each other, which is great. I mean, as far as the new coach from Norfolk State, Latrell Scott, I mean, I don't know that yet, but I can tell you what, the tight end room is looking very, very good.
And under his direction, God, we got so much depth in tight end, we're going to have to figure out where to play them. I mean, it is stupid the depth we have at tight end all of a sudden.
Playing two tight ends at once.
We're going to have to. We're going to have to keep them happy, Bunk. We got the kid from Temple that went to North Lenoir that I wanted when he was coming out of high school. And then now the kid from Oklahoma is suddenly eligible. So we added them two to a room that was already busy. So
if you can get in a two tight end formation and run the ball now, with most of the defenses set up to be with five defensive backs, you know, you're looking at a big difference in numbers. So, you know, once you put a six-man line up there, you really make the defense true up and play more of it's harder to stunt. It's harder to do your things like that. And so it really creates a lot of problems for the defense when you can just get in two tight ends and run the ball.
Hey guys, really quick. I've got Bubba sent me a message at the half. Good news for ECU basketball fans at ECU period. At the half, Houston is up 34-17 over Oregon State. So that helps us get more money. They'll be going to the Final Four if they can win this game. As you guys know, we'll have a special Wednesday night show. We're hoping I know we have former ECU coach Mike Steele is coming on and maybe another person or two.
So, yeah, we'll be talking about that one. They'll be at the Final Four. Memphis won the NIT. I think it's safe to say that the American was a little underappreciated in basketball this year.
No doubt about it. Let's get back to football. I just want to make that point. As far as football is concerned, you know, when you look at the schedule, guys, I know it's tough, but at the same time, when there's other teams, I know, Terry, you and I talked about this a few months ago. There was a lot of teams this past year that were senior-laden teams. I know their guys are coming back. But our team, as far as experience, gained a lot of experience last year. And you have a potential for these guys, Sutton. I think they're in Kyle as well. These guys, Holton and these guys can play together 3-4 years. I mean, that's why not only this year, but you were talking, Sutton, 22 and 23 is going to be very special. I really believe, as I said all along, I believe that Mike Houston will win an AAC championship under him. And I also believe that New Year's Six Bowl is not out of the question with him. I'm not saying this year, but I really believe the next 2 years, not this year, obviously, the next year or two that we can talk about.
Well, if you win an American Athletic Conference championship, you're going to have a chance for a New Year's Six Bowl. That's just how that is. So, if he can do that down the road, then, this year I'll be happy with 6-6 and let's go bowling.
I know. I'm not predicting that this year.
When you look at our schedule, it's tough. But I honestly don't look at it to see a team that I don't think we can beat. I mean, I think we can beat App. I think we can beat Marshall. I really think we can beat South Carolina because it's in Greenville. It'll be tough because they match up well with what we want to do. But there's not a team on the schedule that we can't beat. Now, with the exception of Charleston Southern, and who knows, but with the exception of Charleston Southern, there's not a team on the schedule that can't beat us either. So I expect a lot of close games and a lot of dogfights this year. I think it's going to be a really fun season, and get ready for a lot of wars would be my prediction. A lot of close games. Get ready for some Skip Holtz type scores in terms of how close the games are going to be, not necessarily low scoring. But I think there's going to be a lot of close football games this year. Can Terry and Bubba not coexist?
They're fighting it out. I think Bubba is here back. Actually, I think the internet of Terry, we lost him for a second, so Bubba came back on. So he helps us out with the graphics and producing. We appreciate him for helping us out. That way my face won't have the sports objective on there. So Oh, there you go. Jaden Gardner's already heard from Arkansas, Virginia Tech, Pitt, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Miami, Virginia, NC State, Oklahoma State, and Texas A&M. So maybe he knew that, and that's why he wanted to go. Thank you, Bubba, for that. So,
guys, I was hoping to hear Terry's big announcement. You said Terry had a big announcement. I'm gonna have to drop out here in a minute, but is Terry gonna rejoin us?
Well, that's what we hoped for, because we were going to talk about that. So he's not coming back to ECU for a COVID year. So he was denied that. So that's not the announcement. We can definitely finish that off. But it's he has a new career path. I will just say that, something that he's always wanted to do. And now he has the opportunity to do it. And I'll let him tell it, because.
All right. Senior porn for Terry Gallagher.
It's not that. That's a rumor.
Oh,
that was
it. Oh, okay.
No, that's definitely not it. His wife, I'm sure his wife Gail would not appreciate that at all. But anyway, no, it's not that. It's actually a really cool thing, and I don't want to steal his thunder, so to speak. So anyway,
I got a feeling I might have an idea of what it could be. Is it football related?
No, it's not. It's not.
Okay,
coaching.
Well then I forget my idea of what I thought it could be.
All right. I don't want to tell it, because it's something he's really excited about, and I don't want to.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. If Gallagher comes back on, I will tune in and watch his announcement. But Pirate Nation, I'm going to sign off here, and everybody keep your head up. It ain't the end of the world just because Jaden's leaving. There's a lot to look forward to, and as of right now, what I would look forward to most is tomorrow night beat the Tar Heels. So until we see you again. Hopefully celebrating a Tar Heel win on Thursday, guys. Is that right?
No, Tar Heels are tomorrow night.
No, I'm talking about the next time we're going to join you.
Wednesday night. We'll be here Wednesday night
celebrating the Tar Heel win. All right. Tomorrow night we'll beat the Tar Heels and celebrate Wednesday. And Sutton, good talking to you again. And,
great to see you.
I'm out. And what did Gardner say? JG out, or
JG out. So KB out.
KB
out.
JG, I'm out, or something.
Yeah, exactly. We got another comment here. I love this. Richard Allsburg says, "As long as Cy Seymour is not in the transfer portal, we'll be good." So thank you. We love Cy, and I was trying to reach out to him and find out if he knew anything. We'll have Cy on here very soon. I love Cy is like, and Jeff Charles are like on my Mount Rushmore when it comes to Pirate athletics and sports. They mean the world to me. So just like Corey Glore, we've got a lot of talent, Sutton, like you. I mean, we've got a lot of talent. And you see, one question I had for you, by the way, I was going to ask you earlier, and we got talking about Jaden, which is obviously very important, but talk about the video production, you know, Greg Pierce. Speaking of unsung heroes, we've got so many great people at ECU. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's not because it's East Carolina. They're so good. I'll put them up against anybody in the country, and I really sincerely mean that.
Absolutely. Greg Pierce, I love working for Greg Pierce. He is an absolute rock. I don't know if you guys know, but in the Boneyard, one of the concession stands was turned into the new video production control room.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's where I work. And so that's where we do all of our ESPN Plus broadcasts. Everything is in there. And so like all of our cameras except for one are monitored in the control room. And then obviously the show is produced and directed in the control room. Really, the video production with this new contract we have with ESPN Plus, I mean, Pirate fans, they really get to see ECU sports at a totally different level. And I can say this straight up. I've seen the Georgia Southern broadcast, and I've seen the Duke broadcast from the ESPN Plus. What Greg Pierce is doing over with that ESPN Plus stuff can seriously compete with anybody in the country. It is as professional and as clean and as it can be. And let me tell you something. I am really, really honored and proud to have a part in those broadcasts.
Are we going to see, if you can't answer, then it's fine, but are we going to see more, I take it more sports? I know they're trying really hard to roll out as many games and everything as we can. And of course, you have to deal with announcers and all that kind of stuff. But is that something like you and other guys and other ladies are in the department that could do? I know we have Corey Glore, we have Jay Sunhalter, we've got so many, Patrick Keenis, different ones have come in from freelancing, from Chris Edwards, I know does a lot of stuff with Duke, but we've got a lot of talent out there in a short drive away or even right in our backyard with you guys to pull these broadcasts off.
Well, right now I don't know if, I mean, how much I can say, but right now we are limited to what we can broadcast per day. So that's really where we are right now. As far as the talent is concerned, I mean, if you guys want to talk to Greg Pierce and ask him if he wants me to be on there or ask Brian, you guys go right ahead. I mean, I'll sign that petition. I mean, I would certainly be fine with trying that out. I'd absolutely love to try an ESPN Plus broadcast out. I think it would be really great to do. But, I mean, I honestly don't know at this point. I mean, it's still all very brand new. I mean, the control room was just finished at the start of this year. We're just having our feet wet because we didn't have fall sports. So we didn't really get to experiment with the ESPN Plus in the fall. So it's really, I mean, a lot of it, I mean, I'm not going to say it's trial and error, though, because, I mean, our team, I mean, Greg Pierce, Mike Miles, Brandon Smith, all of those guys, Kyle Gaskins, my boss, I mean, it's really professional. And, I mean, from the time I was at NBC 29 and here, I mean, it's crystal clear. Both staffs just extremely professional. I mean, it reminds me of being in a control truck. But, I mean, as far as me taking over the mic for a game, I'd love to, but I mean, I have no idea at this point what's going to happen. I would not say no, though.
All right, there you go, Pirate Nation.
Hey, Sutton, I'll put him on the topic. Sutton, since Dave brought up the topic of the ESPN Plus broadcast, you know, give our listeners and viewers a glimpse behind the scenes, and you've touched a little bit as far as on, you know, where that stuff is located in Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. But talk about how many cameras there are, you know, all the elements that go into a production like that.
Yeah. In our broadcast, in our control room, we have four cameras that we operate. It's kind of like a joystick camera. So the cameras are all already placed in the stadium. So all of them are there. They're like cemented into the stadium, and we control them from our office in Dowdy. So like we have the joystick, we move them around up and down, and we can change the filters. So, I mean, really what I can tell you is for instance, for baseball, every single camera you see, we operate in Dowdy except for the camera that is in the stands when a player gets a hit. Other than that, those cameras that you see, we are operating in Dowdy. And then as far as the producing elements, all that, I mean, all of that stuff is done well in advance. I mean, like for baseball, I operate the scoreboard you see on the screen. So like I'm doing that, and I mean, it's a whole system. I mean, and I tell this to people all the time, especially in news. You might only see a few anchors and a couple reporters, but it's not just them that make the show. You've got to have a production staff. You have to have an engineering staff. You have to have a sales staff. I mean, it is so critical to have all of that. And let me tell you, I mean, Greg Pierce, he is a mastermind. What he has been able to do is absolutely outstanding. And I will say this a million times. I mean, and he knows this too. I go into work 20 minutes early because I just love it in that room. It is, the atmosphere in there is absolutely phenomenal. And I can say this to Pirate Nation. Your ESPN Plus broadcasts are fantastic. I know they are. I mean, obviously, I'm being biased too when I say that. But, I mean, Pirate Nation is really getting a treat with the product that we're producing, because I can tell you what, our product is about as good, if not the best product I've seen on ESPN Plus.
So speaking of products, we have a product tomorrow night, and that's being, of course, our game against the Tar Heels. You know, I'm going to ask you, who's going to win that game? I'm putting you on the spot. I ask you a tough question. Who's going to win tomorrow night?
I can tell you what, our boys are fired up. I can guarantee you that. I mean, they frankly embarrassed us last week. So I think we're going to win the game. I think that we're going to start hot and we're going to start early. I mean, I remember the last time they came into our house. It was a very low scoring game. I'm going to say this, expect a big game out of Connor Norby. Expect him to hit home run tomorrow night. I mean, if we win the game tomorrow, we're going to have to strike early. We've got to get the momentum. And we have to do it early. And I always say that. I mean, with our baseball team especially, we get the lead, we're not going to lose it. And if we do lose it, we get it back. So really, if we can get that momentum early in tomorrow night's game, we're going to win. And we're going to celebrate tomorrow night.
That sounds good. Downtown Greenville's going to be rocking, man. I wish I could be a Greenville like the old days in the 90s, but my soon-to-be 48-year-old body won't be able to recover the next day like it could when I was 20, 21 years old. Sutton, man, I could talk to you all night. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. By the way, Pirate Nation, if you're just joining us, Sutton's going to be with us tomorrow. You're going to be out there at Dowdy Finkel and helping us out with Pro Day. Can you give us a little bit of a preview of what you think will happen tomorrow? What you know you're going to be covering?
I mean, personally, I mean, they haven't really said like all that to me personally, but I can tell you this. I mean, Smith is going to have a good day tomorrow. Pro is going to have a good day. And let me tell you this, Jake Ferry, I've said it for a long time, he could have a very good career in the NFL. So expect a great performance. I mean, really all three of them expect a great performance out of them. But I think that Smith especially is going to raise some eyebrows tomorrow.
Sounds good. To those three guys, I tell you what, I know we've been kind of in a drought when it comes to the NFL draft, which is unfortunate, but I really believe those three you know, all three of them get in, even if it's undrafted free agent, right? I mean, I think they really, all three of them have a shot. I really do.
Absolutely. I think all three will.
All right, Sutton, buddy, I appreciate you very much. Thanks for, you've spent overtime with us. Thank you so much for that, man. And have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow. Your coverage stinks in advance, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Go Pirates.
Go Pirates. All right, good night, Sutton Young. Appreciate him very much for all that he does for our show. He's been here for the last several months and looking out for us and means the world to us. And we appreciate him and look forward to that. Bubba, before we go, I know we've been running a little bit long. We want to give our friends certainly at pgxgloves.com. We want to thank them for all that they do for us. They've been around for a while. Mark Minakazi has been a fan of the show and he's helped us out and we've become good friends of ours. And we want to remind fans to go to pgxgloves.com. If you're watching, obviously, if you're listening, we'll tell you about it. pgxgloves.com. Bubba, they have everything, don't they?
Absolutely, Dave. Customized and personalized baseball gloves, batting gloves. They have both, you know, obviously your adult and youth sizes, football gloves, golf gloves, and then, of course, the swag. I believe on a recent program, or actually, no, just some pictures that I had put on social media. I was wearing the new PGX hat with the lion logo with the baseball in the mouth that you see there. Kaz sent me a couple of those, very sharp looking logo. I'll try to remember to wear it on Wednesday night show, and definitely check out pgxgloves.com. And we'll put that up for you once again, scrolling across the bottom of the screen for our viewers. But for our audio only folks, 25% off if you use the promo code ECU. That has to be in all caps, ECU in all caps, to get 25% off anything on the website at checkout.
No doubt about it. Thanks to Mark Minakazi. He's been such a great partner with us, pgxlove.com. And my son Alexander starting Farm League, folks, and he has blue. He has the batting. I got him two batting gloves, two sets of batting gloves there. And literally, I mean, he's rocking those batting gloves. He's so excited, Bubba, for us to have our first practice tomorrow so he can show off his pgxgloves.com. I'm telling you, folks, they are really awesome gloves. I know Riley has some, Bubba's son, and they are just really – I've seen – you know, Bubba, you and I have coached, and you kind of get, like, when it comes to gear and stuff, you kind of just, like, not ho-hum, but it's just kind of like – run-of-the-mill stuff, and he does a really good job at pgxgloves.com. I know the term is overused, but it really does pop.
Yeah, no doubt. Riley has a pair of the digital camo with his name on them, and then he also has a pair of the goat, which he really loves. That's the pair that he actually wears the most, and he was wearing them last night. We're at the SBA facility here near our house, and he was taking some BP in his goat batting gloves, and I know he was showing them off to his teammates as well, and I'm sure they liked them.
No doubt, and I tell you another place you can do your batting gloves, and of course that's Next Level TC, Next Level Training Center, nextleveltrainingcenter.com, nextleveltc.com, I should say. Trent Brett, Gaino Brett, everybody, all the instructors are fantastic there. They have all kinds of clinics. They've been good sponsoring our great show every Sunday night called Extra Innings. Thanks to Corey Glore, the play-by-play voice of the EC Baseball Pirates as well. We appreciate all the support. Trent is, a god when it comes to baseball and his knowledge, his expertise, his resume is to die for. And it means the world to us for him to partner with us. The first time he's ever done any kind of advertising is with us. That means a lot. Same thing, I think Kaz is a testament as well. So we appreciate them putting trust in us, and we appreciate them so much for being a part of the Sports Objective family. Hey, Bubba, do you have anything before we go?
Let's just go ahead and promote Wednesday night show. Obviously, okay. The Final Four will be coming up this weekend. It's looking very likely that the Houston Cougars will be taking place in the Final Four there in Indianapolis. We're hoping that's the case. And then you're also going to have there, we'll see over the next, I guess, tonight and then tomorrow night, that being Monday and Tuesday, the Cougars are up 42-27 with just under 15 minutes to go in that game. Again, second-seeded Houston against 12th-seeded Oregon State. Later on tonight at 9:57, you have number 1-seed Baylor against number 3-seed Arkansas. And then tomorrow night, you have Michigan, number 1-seed against number 11 UCLA. What a story the Bruins have been with Mick Cronin. And then Gonzaga attempting to stay undefeated, taking on Pac-12 foe USC, who's on a tremendous run of their own. You had USC beating Kansas by what, about 35 points? And what a story the Trojans, have been.
No doubt about it. It's going to be interesting to see. But, the Final Four is just right around the corner. Unbelievable. So, great show Wednesday night. Appreciate Coach Mike Steele for coming back on. He talked about last week where he should come back on. So, we are honored to have him back on. And lots of stuff to talk about. Bubba, we appreciate Sutton Young. Appreciate Terry Gallagher has had trouble with his Wi-Fi. Terry, we love you, man. And he said next time he'll get his internet right. So, appreciate him, and maybe next time we can have, well, it's a nice little tease. Everybody will find out what Terry, that's why we're going to have him on. In addition to talking about a little bit about spring football, we're going to talk about what he's been up to, and we'll save that for another time, as they say. Thank you, Sutton, very much. Thanks to Terry, Cal, Bubba. Thank you, man. Appreciate you for all that you do behind the scenes and on air and producing. Appreciate it very much. All right, until next time, you've been watching The Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. Go Pirates. Up and lean side to side, set to